And now, back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Now, you're tuned in to What's Happening.
And we are back, 30, almost 31 minutes after 12 noon. My pleasure on these Tuesday afternoons to welcome in Natalie Bernard-Broussard, Council Chairman, Iberia Parish Council Chairman, and Paul Landry, District 7 Council Member. Good afternoon, folks. How are we doing today?
Doing good, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Jeff, how are you?
Good. Always a pleasure.
Yes.
I bring up Natalie's mic here. No, or maybe Natalie can talk more directly into it.
I'll do better.
I appreciate
Sorry.
That. That's okay. That's okay. Anyway, good to have you back. Council off last week, if I remember right.
And yes.
Back at it tomorrow night.
Yes, I believe you're right. Our days and weeks are starting to run together so much. Yes, we have a meeting tomorrow night.
Notice the Economic Development District meeting that usually accompanies the second meeting of the month, full council meeting of the month. That canceled, nothing on the agenda there?
No, they, there's just no funds.
We have no money to play with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're... We co-signed a lot of bills for our kids, and now we're paying them. So, the district's bringing in just right at the amount that the bond is every year. So that's all we hoping to do.
I know you address it later in the committee meetings, but Economic Development District, a lot of those funds have gone toward the Acadiana Regional Airport, and we see where Jason DeVillier is leaving. And I know, again, in the committee meetings, you do offer up some thoughts on his departure, but... surprise there. Normally you hear about when a guy is seeking another position. This one kind of quiet.
I don't think he was seeking another position. Jason called me before he made it the resignation public to let me know he didn't want us hearing it in the news, and said this one kind of fell in his lap, and it was an offer that was kind of hard to pass up. And I don't think he was seeking. In fact, he told me that he really enjoyed his job here and loved what he was doing and has actually turned down other offers that he's received to stay here. And I told him I understood that you have to do what's best for you and your family, but I sure appreciate everything he did for Iberia Parish, and we'll never forget that he was involved in it being on the brink of busting open.
Yeah, he and very knowledgeable. He knows a lot of contacts and names, and I think he was helping us move it along pretty well. He's really improved it from what he took over 9 years ago, and made some really good changes and stuff. And sad to see him go, but yeah, Natalie's right. You got to do what's best for your family.
Yeah, and not to not give him the credit, but I think the airport has a little bit more funding because of the economic development to work with, too.
Yeah, and I think they might have had some bond payments that they had paid, and they got some extra rent coming in and things like that. So, yeah, he did move it along pretty good, and he did a good job. He left it a lot better than, when he took on with it. But
noticed also is that in all the packets that we get every other week, is it seems like they get a lot of grant money. His administration is really good about going after grant money, and that has helped tremendously get things done. But Economic Development District has definitely been very beneficial to the airport.
And utilizing those dollars as wisely and efficiently as possible, as he appears to have done.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yes. Anyway, have you seen the new terminal? Have you been out there?
I have not yet. We were going to do our show from there, and then was that, I think that's, there was the flooding. Was that around? No, it wasn't around the flooding. Something prevented me from getting out there the day of the groundbreaking. Something.
Stopped it.
Yeah, whether it was a weather-related thing or just we couldn't get away from
something
the studio.
Something happened. Yeah. It's just, it's exciting. It's a great sight to see. Very exciting.
Very good. Again, later in the committee meetings, they address that issue. But full council meeting kicks things off at about 6 o'clock tonight. A few public comments that you know about. Of course, general public will also have an opportunity to speak on any agenda item. But Monique Boulay with the Acadiana Planning Commission to address the council in order to invite you guys to a regional watershed summit in August.
Yeah, and I think we've been getting lots of emails and stuff about this, so we can start putting it on our calendar and planning on attending. This is definitely a regional issue. It's not a parish issue, so I think it's important for us to to be at the table and participate in these things.
Yeah, it's a lot of the drainage issues starting way up at Port Barry and St. Andrew Parish, coming through St. Martin, Iberia, Lafayette, you know, and how, you know, that all affects us way down here, that, you know, you're thinking of the few inches of rain we get, but we're also getting some of their water, and I think they want to all work with us together. So it's, you know, trying to do a regional thing instead of just a local.
Right. Obviously, things like drainage don't necessarily know parish lines, although
right.
some parish lines were based on rivers or bayous and things
correct.
Like that. But obviously, yeah, it needs to be a regional effort for those kind of things. And, you know, roads, too, to some degree. Sometimes, you know, the best thing for a region is not necessarily a road in your parish, but maybe it's a road getting you out of the parish, too.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Emergency situations, things
sure.
like that. Anyway, and also under the public comments portion, Scott Berenger, president of the Iberia Sports Complex Commission, folks refer to it often as the Pepperplex, of course, information about their activities.
Yeah, we used to try to have somebody from the Pepperplex come by once a year, just tell us, you know, what's going on, what they're doing, you know, the number of kids, and just keep us, you know, updated on what's going on out there. Sometimes in your busy life, you know, if you don't have young kids or grandkids, you know, you may not stop out there. But it's a big, beautiful park. You know, it's only about 25-30% completed, you know, and it would have been nice to have the funding to make it a Youngsville or Broussard type park. But, you know, we have it is a beautiful park. And ISA and Evangeline Little League, you know, put in a lot of hours and turned out some good products to send on to the high schools that eventually go on to state championships. So that's where it all begins.
I know you spend some time there, boots on the ground for a little while.
Yeah, I got involved with the concession stand, then I eventually became the director, and I'm still the vice president of the Iberia Sports Complex Commission. And it is exciting. It's nice to be out there and, you know, seeing what we have contributing to the community. And, of course, that was one of my hopes when I was running, is to be able to try to get a few dollars here or there, you know, every year, and put it into turfing some of the fields and things like that. We have a beautiful setup with all the restaurants and hotels and everything right there. Everybody that would come for a tournament just really loved the place, you know. But, you know, we're not the one that decides who comes to the complex and stuff. But we've still got a good bit of activity, and Scott's going to come give us an update and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, Natalie, I know the city has been trying to develop maybe some infrastructure projects that would enhance that area, connectivity to the hotels and the restaurants and things like that, too. Is there something parish government can do to maybe assist in that direction?
Well, I mean, this is a minor step that we're taking by, and we actually invited them to come to the council meeting and talk to us to tell us what's going on. We're trying to bring awareness to the parish of what we do have to offer, and that we have some great leagues. The Evangeline Little League, one of the teams, just went to Texas for a state championship round. So we have some great athletes, and we're just trying to get the awareness out to the public that we have these facilities, beautiful complex, right here in our parish. Support it. We don't need to go to Youngsville. We don't need to go to Broussard. We don't need to go to Lafayette for our, these extracurricular activities. We have them right here in our community. Support our program. Support our community. And that's where it starts. When you get the local support, then that's going to start generating some revenue to complete some of the projects out there, and then we can get some of those tournaments and utilize. I mean, it's a win-win for the parish when we start utilizing all these restaurants and hotels that are all right there. So we need the support of the community, and we're trying to bring awareness to what we have to offer out there and get the community to support it.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because, you know, Broussard and Youngsville, God bless them for what they're doing, but they don't have the access to Highway 90 that the Pepperplex does. They don't have the hotels. Might have a restaurant or two in the neighborhood, but, you know, the hotels and Highway 90 should be a big factor in drawing some of those outside tournaments.
Yeah,
we just have to complete the complex. That's the biggest holdup.
We had a tournament coming one time, so, you know, thinking of everything going on, so I called some of the restaurants over there. So you might want to be prepared. You know, we have 20, 30 teams, whatever it was, coming over here, and the following week, the manager from Chili's called and said, thank you very much for calling. He increased his Friday order over 300%, and he still ran out of food.
Yeah.
It just that part could really have a big impact on the community, you know, tax dollars, you know, and the different enterprise taxes on the hotels and things like that. It's a diamond in the rough. We got a couple.
There you go. So is there anything on the horizon that will help the expansion, or are things so tight at both the parish level and the state level that it's tough to think that anything other than private donations can spur this thing?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Jeff. You know, the parish is, you know, working with some electricity and water bills, and the city has donated the land, and they do a few things here or there where they can. But, yeah, there's nothing out there right now. You know, it is close enough to the TIF district that Jason Akers has said that, yeah, you could use it for improvements and things like that. So if the economy ever turns around, you know, we get some sewage and water out on Highway 90, get some businesses here, you know, maybe down the road we'll see something.
All right. Under reports, one stood out to me, bid tabulations for Back Road, Briarwood, Bull Island, and Railroad Bridge replacements. Is this significant stuff here?
Those are the ones.
Oh, okay,
that,
yeah, yeah. They did a bid on those.
That's
those
the
bridges.
Leftover ones, yeah. From Labiche.
Right, right.
So, and we're getting to the end.
And actually, they came in under budget. So, you know, if everything goes through and all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, you know, they should send it out to the contractor and hopefully get started on those.
So, again, those roads are the bridges we mentioned. Those are now ready to see construction.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Got a caller on the line. We'll see if it's a question for either of our guests. Hi, you're in the air. Or not. Apparently that was not something that they wanted to. I guess they were content with the bridge news there. After that, consent agenda. Well, the council member, parish president, with an opportunity to make some announcements. Consent agenda items, anything worth pulling out there? Or is that pretty standard
just
stuff?
House, yeah,
which, again, is why it's under the consent agenda stuff.
Correct.
And then no ordinances to be up for public hearing and final adoption. Several resolutions. One would appoint a member to the Waterworks District number 3 board for a 5-year term. Terry LeBlanc looks like the only candidate to have another term there.
Yeah, we've had Terry out there a couple times now. You know, we made an ordinance that when you're applying for a board, you have to come and speak to us, you know, in front of the council. And I think he's had a little problem getting away from his job or something like that. But I'd heard that he was probably going to be there this week, so we can get this one put behind us.
All right. Another resolution would appoint a member to the Acadiana Area Human Services District, again, representing Iberia. Darla Louvier, her term expiring, and looks like a couple of people have applied for the post, Carol Broussard and Kenny Patton.
Yeah, we had somebody who had applied last meeting, but they were not a resident of Iberia Parish, and this is a representative of Iberia Parish, so we reopened it for residents of Iberia Parish to apply, and got two interested people that are very involved in this issue. The Carol Broussard called me last night. I don't know who she is, but other than what she told me on the phone last night, but she just retired and is really looking forward to starting to volunteer and get in to that aspect of her life. So between Carol and Kenny, it looks like we have two very good candidates from Iberia Parish. So glad to see people getting involved and wanting to participate. So I thank both of them for putting themselves out there.
All right. Couple other items that we discussed pretty well last week following the committee meetings, but the Dutch Gosnell property out on Old Spanish Trail, 4108, I guess that's East Old Spanish Trail, the property to be used for public works. Anything weird happened in the last 2 weeks to derail this one?
I don't think anything weird has happened. I just think this gives me an opportunity to clear up some issues for the public. I mean, you hear us talking all the time about we don't have any money, we don't have any money, we don't have any money, and perception out there is, whoa, wait, why are you spending $420,000 on a building when all we hear from y'all is you don't have any money? And the difference is in dedicated funds, and the money for this would be coming out of a fund balance that's dedicated just for public buildings maintenance.
Couldn't go to roads if you wanted
to. Couldn't go to roads, couldn't go to drainage, you can't go to anything else. So the funds are available to purchase this building, and just because the perception doesn't look good because we don't have money for other things, I don't think that should stop us from doing something that's really in the best interest of the parish.
And I think last week you said something, too, about the money that over time you're going to save because of flood insurance. Or
$28,000 a year in flood insurance.
Yeah. So
that's only on one of the buildings out there, as I understand it.
Right. Yeah. So, but in 15 years, it pays for the building. So, you know, you got 7 acres. You got a building where we can store most of our equipment. You know, 2 days before hurricane, they're worried about getting out of their facility instead of worrying about taking care of the roads, the drainage. You know, we get some good hard workers in public works, you know, and, you know, we'd rather them spending, you know, those 2 days, 48 hours before hurricane, you know.
Instead of moving equipment just to save the equipment, they can actually start preparing for the storm and making sure any blockages are cleared up and making sure we can get drainage going. So save us a lot of money in that aspect as well. And there's so many different things we can use this for. We all know that we're shifting our recycling program to something where we'll have drop-off sites. This is 7 acres of property. This is a perfect drop-off site for that. You know, when you do the math, we're getting this 40,000 square foot for less than $10 a square. I mean, it's an opportunity for the parish that I just can't see us.
And it's got great access to so many different parts of the parish, whether it be toward Lorville in one direction, Generette, Lydia, not too bad to get to Delcombe and those things
Correct.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, I said on the radio last time is that, you know, we had $3,000 in repairs to my husband's truck after the August flood from us driving through the floodwaters trying to get people sandbags and get people what they need. If we could get public works in, on higher ground and where people can have better access to it, it's a win-win for every member of the parish.
Yeah.
So I hope people see the benefits of this and understand how the dedicated funds come and that this money can't be used for any of the other priorities that we have. So when we can do something that's best for the parish, we want to move forward with that and not be handcuffed because we can't move forward on other areas.
All right. Next resolution, again, we discussed it briefly, but the request to urge the governor and the legislature to restore funding for LA 3212 turnaround and access road project.
Yeah, this project is so important for Iberia Parish, and we need the governor to know, not just from our state delegation, but from all of our locals, from the council, from the parish president, from any members of the community that wanted to let the governor know how important this puzzle is for our master plan. We really need this for development on Highway 90 as well as the airport, and it's an integral part of our development. So we need to get the funding restored for that.
Yeah, we took a pretty big hit on that one. That was pretty disappointing. So I think we're going to work hard at letting the governor know that, you know, hey, you know, we need to get this put back in. You know, for next year, we're going to change the language a little bit, and we'll be ready for it now. You know, we're going to be moving on with the project to some extent, ready to pull the trigger immediately. So,
gotcha. Is there that hope then that once you show the governor that, hey, we're going ahead with this project, that it's not a dead project? And because I think that's one of the reasons the money had sat there for such a long time.
Yeah, you know, and he's looking over, you know, needing money here and there. And, you know, so you're right. You know, we should have somehow been having it moving. You know, we got into our term and, you know, we're in the freeze and things like that. And we're all starting to catch our step, you know, in our position. We find this thing. You know, we give Larry the authority to expropriate some land that was kind of tying us down to. And then at the 11th hour, we get this pulled out from underneath us. So,
is there any miscommunication with the legislature or our delegation where they didn't realize that something was going on? Or
absolutely not. Our delegation was on top of it, in communication with us, telling us, I mean, they did everything they could to keep it there and had been warning us for several months. But when the right-of-way issues and other issues, our hands were just tied to get it done timely. So we're going to be reapplying for it in the capital outlay applications when they come in November. And apparently when it was originally applied for, the money was only granted for the construction. So that was part of the problem, was we were spending all this money, but not at the actual construction phase to be able to start drawing down from it. So when we reapply, we're going to apply for all phases of the project so that we could start drawing on it immediately. Yeah. And hopefully that'll prevent this from happening again.
Very good. A couple other items, both from zoning, planning and zoning. Ordinance approving a request for a special use conditional use permit to allow a catering facility in District 11 on Faith Drive.
Yeah, the information that we're getting from planning and zoning is that there were several representatives from the neighborhood that had been in contact with them that expressed that they did not have any problem with this, that it's just a matter of them cooking on the facility and then they bring it to other places where they actually serve it, and nobody had a problem with them cooking in the neighborhood. So just anybody in that subdivision, if you have a problem with it, make sure you voice your objection prior to this being voted on.
Very good. And a similar ordinance for camper for temporary usage at Anchor Drive, except I think this one is to deny.
Yeah, they it looks like they were going to use it off and on and everything, and they what they're really worried about is that the camper is just going to sit there hooked up, and as the guy comes back and forth from where, you know, he'll be there. And I don't think we want to get things like that started up. And the neighborhood was pretty excited. I was at that meeting, and you know, they had a lot of people voicing their opinion against it. So pretty easy on that one.
All right. Anything else from the full council meeting that is worth discussing?
I think that's it.
All right. Real quickly, the committee agenda, some aspects a little lighter than normal, others not. We already talked about the, a couple of people who want to address the council. One regarding some flooding at Patouville Road.
Yeah, we got some pictures in our packet, and, you know, we'll need to get him to come in and explain some. I'm sure it has to do with the high tide, water intrusion from, you know, when we get a high tide and a south wind. And I guess we'll see what we can do about it, you know, get Herman Broussard involved in it and try to help the people as much as we can. But when water rolls, it rolls.
So, again, it's a situation where we're not sure if there's something really a man-made problem or if it's just nature.
Yeah, you know, some of these areas, you know, they've never had a whole lot of flooding, and then all of a sudden you're getting it all the time. So sometimes it's different, you know, developments in the area or, you know, something that's going on. And, you know, I guess he's going to come. This is my first time hearing about it. So, you know, I think that's.
And that's the whole point of them being able to come to committee is to let us know what the problem is, and then we'll see if there's something that we can do about it.
Understood. And after that, Ashley Logan with Capital Area Finance Authority wants to address the council regarding a cooperative endeavor agreement between you and them in regards to granting a home buyer grant program to qualified constituents.
Yeah, they're going to come give us a presentation on what they have to offer and how it can benefit our constituents. So we'll have to look at all the information that they bring to us at the committee meeting and see. And if this is something good for the residents, I don't see us having any problem authorizing that.
All right. After that, the executive committee to meet, and they've got several items on their agenda. We already talked about Jason departing the airport authority, and Then you've got an ordinance, discuss, consider an ordinance rescinding a previous ordinance which proposed an amendment to Article 2 of the Home Rule Charter regarding vacancies. Natalie, what's up there?
Yeah, that's those two ordinances that we passed to modify the charter on the vacancies just to become in compliance with state law. One is for vacancies on the council. The other is vacancies with the parish president. We ended up not having any other elections on the October ballot, and we don't want to spend the $20,000 or $30,000 that it's going to cost to bring just these two things to the voters. So I'm proposing that we rescind those ordinances calling that special election, and we'll put it back on the ballot when it's not going to cost us extra when we're paying for it anyway.
Despite the fact that there is a statewide election, the parish's portion would be that much just
that's
by
what
placing
we were
those?
Told.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
$22,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. After that, the idea, because the election is going to happen anyway.
Right.
Okay. After that, there is, and those are two separate items there on the agenda, but I think we covered them both. Discuss, consider resolution supporting Smiles' appeal relating to the termination of their Head Start grant. Some folks may have seen it in this morning's paper, a meeting that they had. It was a bit of a surprise to me. I've done a lot of work with them myself, and I was surprised to see that rug sort of pulled out from underneath them.
Yeah, I went to the meeting yesterday at New Iberia Senior High, and there was 40 or 50 people there, and to get a better understanding, it looks like they want to remove SMILE as the agency that runs this Head Start and early Head Start. I think they have like 30 more days, and they're going to be appealing and things like that. Looks like they have a very good organization set up. I did ask them that what would happen if, you know, they lose the appeal. They would bring in an organization that would run it for a year, and then after that it would go on a bid system, you know, from what Ms. Cobb told me, and then some other agency would take it over. You know, it's 335 jobs. It's 1,500 kids. You know, that's a big deal, you know, and, you know, I hope SMILE is able to continue it and keep going, but my main goal is to make sure we have these people employed and the children taken care of and getting a better education. So,
Natalie, anything further on that?
No, I mean, I don't understand why this was done and what's the purpose of pulling the grant from them and going to a bid process. So we'll have to kind of try and get both sides to determine why that decision was made. But you know, we've learned, even though we only have a four-year term, it took us about a year to really get our feet wet and figure out how you're supposed to do things. And I do believe in term limits, but at the same time, when something's not broke, let's not try and fix it. And, you know, we have to see if that's the deal with SMILE. You want to bring in another organization that'll run it for a year and they'll bid on it every year. That's going to cause some problems with the program. Yeah. So we really need a.
And just a plug for SMILE. Last night was the New Iberia meeting. There's a meeting tonight, Tuesday, in St. Martin, and on Wednesday night in Lafayette Parish.
Okay, yeah, again, they do serve all of those parishes.
Yeah.
I believe we have a caller on the line, but before we get to the caller, and I hope the caller will stick around, Iberia Soccer, Evangeline Little League, just resolutions of support, what's anything apart from what we've already talked about with the Pepperplex.
Yeah. That's just going towards the awareness of what we have to offer that we talked about earlier in the program.
Real good. And the last item on the executive committee, and then we'll get to a caller, again, possible amendments to the boundaries of the Economic Development District.
Yeah, the TIF District, Economic District, there's a few properties out there that have changed over time. There was one that had some houses on it, and those houses are gone. Now there's a business there, and that should be brought into the TIF District to collect the tax and, you know, use on there. So that's all we're trying to do is clean up a couple little, you know, spots on there and, you know, get it right.
All right. A couple of other items, but first let's go to the phones. Thanks for waiting. You're in the air.
Good morning.
What's up?
Or afternoon, whatever we get what it is. This is like night and day. It's really weird. The Lafayette news media has exposed the SMILE program as being totally corrupt, and they spend a fortune on the whole group went to Puerto Rico, they Las Vegas. They've been spending money hand over fist, and it's really been a scandal. And I don't understand why the local parish council hasn't gotten the word. They need to check with.
Did any of that come up at last night's meeting?
I don't know.
I'm asking. I'm asking our guests.
No, actually, last week when I saw it in the paper about the $14 million pulled, I did send an email to our clerks to ask them what was our relationship with Smile. And basically, there's none. The only thing is we cleared a check. The payments are made to the local government, and then we pass it on to them. But we don't appoint anybody. We really have nothing to do with this organization except they take care of our kids.
Well, I just want to respond real quickly. I think that's why I said I want to get both sides of the story to see why the grant was pulled. And if Smile is doing a good job, then we need to be very careful. But if there were some issues with Smile, we need to address that as well. I agree with you. We need to get both sides of the story and make sure that Smile is the right organization to be doing it and figure out why the grant was pulled. I had not heard the information that you're speaking of today, but that's the information that I was looking for, most definitely.
I understand there was a big expose by an investigative reporter with the Lafayette paper, and it was picked up by KPEL radio station Carolyn Ross. Talked about it for weeks now. And it's really been bad, and the grant.
Well, at least according to them.
Well, according to the newspaper reports and the evidence.
So at least it's not fake news. Is that what you're saying?
It's not fake news.
Okay. Appreciate the call. 367. We're running out of time. I don't have that information in front of me, so I don't want to corroborate it one way or the other.
And they did say last night there was three issues. They basically went quickly over them, but they were not going to get into any really discussion. You know, it was just to let them know what was happening.
Real good. Under the Public Health and Safety Committee, there is one item, possible amendments to the nuisance regulations relating to enforcement, repeat offenders, etc. Always seems to be a tough one here.
Always.
Yeah, we're just trying to put some teeth into it. We have some people that just continually, over time, they just repeat offenders, and just seeing what we can do to look at it and if there's anything we can do.
All right. Time going to the phones. Time for a quick call. Hi, you're in there.
If I may finish.
Well, actually, you did. I think we made our point there. I don't have that information in front of me, so I'm running out of time. It's already after 1 o'clock. Real quickly, Public Works Committee. Ordinance amending a chapter of the ordinances to establish a permit fee and penalty for failure to obtain a permit when digging ponds.
There's no fee for you to get a permit on to dig a pond.
Wasn't that addressed a while ago, the fee for this?
It came up in, it wasn't another meeting.
We didn't go any further.
Right. But this will get us where we put a fee because, you know, if you don't get the permit, you get caught with it. It's usually three times the amount of the fee, which is zero, so there's nothing there to prevent anything. So it's just trying to get a fee in there, and we can get a little penalty. You know, you're sending all these people around looking at all this stuff. It can pay some gas and things.
Yeah, I think the idea at the time was you didn't want to make it a burden for someone to build a pond, but at least get the permit so it could get inspected, make sure it's not affecting other people's property. But you're right, if there's no penalty.
And the problem is that to dig it, you should have an engineer give you the okay that it's to do it. So if you spend $1,000 on an engineer, the easiest thing, you know, is just don't get a permit.
Yeah.
And then say you're sorry.
Gotcha. After that, another ordinance that would deny a request for a special use permit for the property on East Old Spanish Trail to allow a 4,000-square-foot commercial building within a mixed residential zoned area. Again, the proposal is to deny here.
Yes, I was at that meeting also. There's an individual that wants to move his business to that location. One side of the road is commercial. The other side is mixed residential. There was a lot of discussion back and forth between the board and between some of the people in the neighborhood and stuff. So it'll... I would anticipate we have a few people there to talk about this one.
Okay. And finally, a couple others. A resolution granting preliminary approval to the development of Canebrook Apartments. Those would be on Nicotown Road in District 10.
they were going to make a, it was either a subdivision or a trailer park on that area, and then they decided to go ahead and build some apartments. I think it's a great idea, you know, right off of Highway 90, right off Admiral Doyle, and I saw the plans and things like that, and I'm 100% for it, but we do need to look at the drainage impact study to see where there's water going to go and how's it going to affect all the neighbors.
Gotcha. Natalie, anything further on that?
No, that's in the planning stages, coming out of planning and zoning, so it's all contingent upon that drainage impact. So if we hear a lot of complaints, it'll be at that meeting, and that's what it's designed for. So
I still, for some reason, I remember the discussion about what they had proposed originally over there, and I picture the same argument saying, you know, people who live in apartments are crappy neighbors too, you know, versus mobile homes. And, you know, I'm just not sure that argument holds enough water, but yet I fear it's going to be out there.
Well, and I don't think we'll be given into those kind of arguments. You know, I lived in apartments, I've lived in mobile homes, I've lived in homes. I mean, you know, we shouldn't be judged by where we live like that.
I would hope not. Final item, resolution, and again, this is just committee, so nothing's final for tomorrow night. But again, resolution authorizing the reduction of a drainage easement for a channel, I guess, in and around Eastside Estates subdivision in District 10.
This one's going to be an interesting one because, you know, about a year ago, we as a council made a pact to really scrutinize these easement reductions very hard. We've denied some pretty tough ones. They're going to have to come with something really strong for me to consider doing a reduction on this one. And we had one guy last year who was already poured his slab, and we denied the reduction, and he had to change his construction plan. So with everything we're doing with drainage right now, it's quite apparent why these right-of-ways are so important and what's needed, and we are hearing time after time after time, we can't do anything about this problem here because we don't have any right-of-ways. Right-of-ways are killing us. That's the problem on 3212, we're trying to get these right-of-ways. And when we have them, why should we give them up? I mean, they're too hard to get. I don't see why we would give them up once we have them.
Yeah, you know, you have a ditch back there, and Public Works can't get in there and, you know, clean it out and stuff like that. Then it causes flooding problems and this and that. So that's all we're trying to do. And then you have a lot of right-of-ways out in the country that people have built barns, fences, and things like that, you know. So then that makes Public Works even a tougher job trying to get to those ditches and get everything taken care of. Natalie's right. It's a tough one.
All right. That's the agenda. Anything else going on you want to share?
Not that I can think of right offhand.
I think we covered most of it right now.
All right. Well, again, tomorrow night's meeting kickoff with the full council meeting beginning at 6, the committee meetings to follow, and look forward to the next time. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We just had the grant to upgrade our voting system, so the public is going to get a whole new system.
Is that going to be visible tomorrow?
Yes, it will be.
We get to go get trained on the new system tomorrow.
Excellent.
So
we're going to school.
From what I understand,
is there another option between yes, no, and abstain?
Well, actually, our mics, our microphones are going to be dead until Natalie taps to decide. You know, in the order that you're told to speak, so the public won't pick up all that little jibber jabber going between most of us. And the other thing I like is the agenda will actually.
As long as Natalie remembers to push those buttons,
she pushes a lot of buttons.
I can picture video Bob giving you an evil eye.
Yeah.
Turn that mic on.
Yeah, but actually the agenda, right now you pick up a paper and you read it with us. From what Brenda told me, it's going to be up on the board.
Nice,
so
nice, nice.
Yeah. So the people that never did go get one will be able to file in.
Or sometimes you run out on when it's a big contentious night.
Or the ones watching it on TV, they at least can see the agenda.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. Like I say, class is 5 o'clock Wednesday.
All right. Well, again, I appreciate you folks joining us. Again, Parish
Council.
Thanks
for having us.
You bet.
Tesh Matters, 10 till 1 on Kane Radio, AM 1240.